When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available. But if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You're everywhere and nowhere, baby. That's where you're at. Going down a bumpy hillside in your hippie hat. Flying across the country and getting fat. Saying everything is groovy when your tires are.
Is it happening? Is Connor Wickham coming back to Hillsborough? Who knows? We've got about 58 minutes before the deadline day, January transfer window nonsense, guff, whatever you want to call it, is over. Yes, 11 p.m. is the deadline. Of course, there are various admin bits and pieces, faxes and emails and signatures, etc., that need to be dotted and crossed before we can actually say it is done and dusted. But as things stand on my clock, we've got about 57 minutes before the January transfer window is over. Connor Wickham, we're led to believe, is going to sign for Sheffield Wednesday, but a few other clubs in for him too. So who knows what is going to happen? We're going to give you all the details on that as and when we hear details. Josh Windass, of course, Wigan Athletics, he's set for a medical ahead of a loan until the end of the season. And Jordan Rhodes has been linked with Cardiff City and Wigan throughout the day, but nothing yet has happened with that one. What we do know is that a couple of days ago, Sheffield Wednesday did bring in Parma striker Alessio Da Cruz. Now, I don't know too much about him. I don't know whether the boys with me know too much about him. Let's ask him, shall we? Rich Miller and Dan Fudge on the line from A Different Gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. Hello, chaps.
How's it going? You all right?
Yeah, good. Thank you, boys. From the Wednesday week as well, of course, Dan. Sorry, I haven't forgotten you there, boss.
No worries at all.
Gents, great to have you on the line. We're going to be talking all things the Owls over the course of the next 25 minutes or so. But we've got to start with deadline day, haven't we? What's going to happen? Are there going to be any incomings over the course of the next 56 minutes or so?
Oh, that's a big question. I mean, yeah, like Rich says, hopefully, you know, it's clear that there's some change needed. We've already had the assurance from the local press that it's unlikely that there's going to be any outgoings, which I find quite concerning, if I'm honest, which means kind of, well, either we're pricing them out of the market or nobody wants our players. But as you mentioned at the top of the show, Connor Wickham is something that the fans are excited about. They're talking about on the online forums. Now, Rich, if you don't mind me asking, do you believe that Connor Wickham is the answer to our problems that we've got?
I think he's the sort of striker that Gary Monk could work very well with. I mean, if you look what he's done at previous clubs, a kind of mobile target man is kind of a key part to the way he likes to play the game. And we've certainly seen, I mean, Stephen Fletcher before his injury was having probably the best season he's ever had in his career, despite the fact he was past his 30th birthday. So I'd be hopeful if Connor Wickham can stay fit, which obviously is one of the big ifs that's followed him his whole career. I'd be hopeful that he'll be a real asset to have on board, and effectively our kind of attack will build around him. That would be my expectation.
So he's scored goals in previous spells, hasn't he, gents? And he does divide opinion, yeah. Of course. I know we've spoken about this before on the show. He divides opinion. Many ex-pros who have played with Conor Wickham say that he is still the real deal, that he, you know, he works hard on his game. He's dedicated to the game. Some people would suggest that he's maybe not as dedicated as he should be. But those close to him think that he's got all the application. Doesn't score a lot of goals for a striker, you'd have to say. But listen, if he's playing in the Premier League, which he occasionally does for Crystal Palace every so often, he has shown in previous loan spells, Rich, that he's got the capabilities to score goals. So, listen, Sheffield Wednesday need goals. He could be the answer.
He had a very, very good... He's actually, this would be his third loan spell with us. So we had a kind of one-month cameo where we saw a lot of kind of bright bits and pieces very early on in his career, but not a huge amount of end product. And then he came back again and had a tremendous spell with us. I think he got 8 goals in 11 games or something like that. And that unfortunately for us at the time, that meant he'd done so well that Palace decided to move him further up the league and send him to Leeds, who were challenging at the top of the league, rather than Wednesday, who were surviving at the bottom. He didn't do very much for Leeds, so it didn't seem to work out for anybody particularly. But if he could replicate anything like that form he showed last time with us, that would just be unbelievably good for us. There's a lot remains to be seen, obviously. But that sort of striker coming on board at this stage in the season would be transformational if he can hit the same sort of form. That would be unbelievable.
I seem to be the only person online that seems to have a degree of trepidation about Conor Wickham. I agree with you. He had a great spell of form when he was with him, when he was with us, the second time around, as it were. Yeah. But I feel that as this got Jordan Rhodes written all over it, you know, one of those signings that the fans have shouted and screamed about. Let's get this. Let's do that. Let's get this. And what if it falls to Bobbins again? You know what I mean? What if all of a sudden we get saddled with another person on big wages who can't put the ball in the back of the net? You know, I agree with you that, you know, Gary Monk might be able to get something out of him. It would be a different setup for him. And everybody, you know, even Jordan Rhodes has come back into the squad and went through a very small purple patch. However, I've just got a little bit of trepidation with it. Like, is it a jobs for the boys? Is it a fairy tale for us? Something that we're looking at through rose-tinted spectacles? I just don't know. I don't know if Conor Wickham is the answer to our prayers. But if we do sign him in the next, 45 minutes, then great news. Brilliant. You know, I'm happy to get some fresh blood in and we'll sell some shirts and all the rest of it. But I don't know. On our show that we were talking about this week early on, we used this verb, Sheffield Wednesday it up. Do you know what I mean? We just seem to have this very special way of you know, turning lethal strikers into mediocre ones. You know, Jordan Rhodes, even if you go back as far as Andy Booth, who was scoring for fun before he signed for us. And, you know, he did okay. But I feel that we have this way of ruining players as our club. I think what was interesting after the embarrassing defeat, which I thought was more embarrassing after the 5-0 against Blackburn, the embarrassing defeat against Wigan the earlier on in the week, I feel that there is obviously some kind of attitude problem that we've got within the club. There is, Gary Monk alluded to a serious amount of complacency within the club, and attitudes need to change and all the rest of it. I just hope that I think that Steve Bruce, when he was with us for that short period of time, brought in that draconian way of thinking. I feel that he had that stern headmaster Alex Ferguson approach to it, and I hope Gary brings it as well, because Carlos back in the day seemed to be everybody's pal and everybody's mate, but he wasn't changeable enough. Gary, what I like about Gary is that he will play 4-4-2 this game or 4-5-1 that game, and he will not put square pegs in round holes. But I just really hope that that's something that we can build on going forward.
I've got to say, please go on, Rich.
I was just sort of saying, looking at our dealings in the transfer window, it's all kind of happened late in the day. But what that will hopefully bring us is a few different options up front, which we're fairly limited in that regard. So we've got three players that can play on the wings. none of them have seemed to combine particularly brilliantly so far this season, even though they're all individually quite useful players. But with now, if Windass joins and with Alessio, trying to make sure I get his name right, Alessio de Cruz on board as well, that's a couple more wingers to choose from and a bit of competition for places. So hopefully guarding against some of that complacency. I think Windass can also sort of play attacking midfield through, so through the middle, that's another option, which again we're fairly limited. Luongo can play there. It's Kieran Lee's preferred position and should be Barry Bannon's best position, but he doesn't particularly like to sort of grab the mantle in terms of attacking for us. Hopefully he's able to then look at his bench and see if it's not working. There's some other options, because I think that was one of the things midweek was, not only was the performance particularly disappointing, but every sub seemed to make us a little bit weaker than we were before. It was a pretty miserable bench to look back on, and I'm sure it's not a great feeling as a manager to sort of, you know, turn around and wonder what you can do to change the game and not be left with very much to change the game. So hopefully we'll have a few more potential match winners in the squad and a few different options on the back of it.
Gents, I just want to ask you both, sorry, just quickly, Dan, you've both mentioned there that, you know, we've got just about an hour left and it is the final day of the window. Now, Gary Monk has come out this week, hasn't he? We'll get on to the game earlier on in the week, of course, against Wigan, and he's used words embarrassment and said that things need to change. I still cannot, for the life of me, and I've got my own feelings about the January transfer window, and we'll keep those aside just for one moment, but I cannot for the life of me believe that we are at 10 p.m. on the final day of a transfer window and we're still saying, oh, if we can get these deals over the line. Why? Oh, why does it take so long? And it's like doing your homework when you're at school and you leave it right to the last minute. Why does it happen?
I hope it's because, you know, for the lower leagues, you know, for the English Football League itself, I hope it's because we're waiting for the Premier League teams to shuffle their deck and then they know who's available. But right on the last hour of the last day, for me, I find it incredible. I find it insane.
I'm with you. I also find it it's unfathomable. I can't get my head around it. Every year we get to this same scenario and it's like every manager in the Championship, even in the Premier League, we're seeing deals go over the line now. Like, it's like everybody suddenly wakes up in the morning and goes, oh crikey, we've left it, haven't we? We've left it for 30 days. We've now got to do this all in the space of 24 hours. I can't get my head around it.
It must be because, you know, they're on a significant amount more money, a significant amount more financial package than what we are in the normal world. So, you know, us after Christmas, we're counting the days to January payday. You know, we're counting the days to payday weekend. And they're not. Yeah, you know, that's probably at least they wake up and go, what, really? Really? It's that day already? You know what I mean? It must be that. It must be that. They just, or the clocks don't work in their house. I believe it must be that. I mean, Rich, what are you like? I'm not a fan of the whole deadline day nonsense. I mean, what are your opinions on it?
Yeah, I wish we didn't have to go through the rigmarole. I suspect it's more to do with kind of middle manager types trying to make themselves feel and look important, you know, kind of. I'm not leaving it to the last minute. I'm playing, you know, ninth dimensional chess with Wigan, because if I push it right to the very limit, they'll desperately shave a few quid off the loan fee. I'm not sure how much help it actually brings, and particularly when you've had a sort of a situation where we needed to replace Fletcher or do something to kind of replace his position in the squad. We've needed that since Christmas. So sitting on our hands playing, you know, clever games of brinkmanship with other teams could effectively, you say, kind of we've wasted January as a result of playing these sort of, you know, silly beggar type games. Having a recognised striker in the door that we can build our attack around would have been much nicer if we'd done it on the first day of the new year and we could have had January you know, benefiting from that presence.
Yeah.
some of these things do just come out of the blue. I mean, the Man United signing of, you know, a guy that's been in China for 5 years. I can't imagine that was something that was on the list, the to-do list come 1st of January. So there'll be some of that as well.
Yeah, quite remarkable, that one, Rich, I have to say. Odion Ighalo looks like he has agreed a six-month loan deal at Manchester United. I mean, you cannot make these things up, quite literally. This is the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show here on Love Sport. We're going to be looking ahead to the game at the weekend against Millwall next, and a bit of reflection as well on that defeat to Wigan during the week.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Dan Fudge of the Wednesday Week. Rich Miller joins us too from A Different Gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. And on the line, we've got an extra as well. Luke Gleadle joins us. Hello, Luke.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you, buddy. Great to have you on the show. We've been talking all things transfers, but as we know, nothing is happening just yet. We'll give you all the information and the news on that as and when it happens. So sorry, fellas, I'm going to have to dive back into midweek and that defeat to Wigan. Now, Gary Monk has used words like embarrassment. He said there needs to be change. That is clear. I'm going to protect the players with all my life, but sometimes you just cannot. Luke, before I go to the other two, your feelings, your thoughts, your opinions on that defeat to Wigan?
I think it's pretty typical of kind of away kind of performance, away Wigan. Midweek, I was really hoping that being that we're setting ourselves up for being quite an away team, I thought that would work quite well, but no, it was really disappointing to see that we were just incredibly under par and making some very rookie errors in the process as well.
I've got to say, gents, from watching this and Jacob Murphy getting the opener, seemed delighted with himself that he got a header, by the way, judging by his celebration. I just want to touch on the final goal because it looked like absolute debacles at the back. I think it was Moses Odubeji who, terrible clearance, and then was completely at fault for letting, he lost the header, didn't he, on the edge of the box, and then Jamal Lowe headed in. It just looked like a complete shambles, and you saw Cameron Dawson going absolutely bonkers at him, Dan. He was not happy at all.
Yeah, it was very poor. Now, Adebayo, for ourselves as fans, we're sat there thinking, how was he on the pitch? he's not covered himself in glory since he's been here, and Gary Monk rather sternly said in the press that, you know, you're free to go. Yeah, you know, if you find somewhere, off you pop. And then we had an injury to Liam Palmer, and then we tried to protect this young chap in Urgahide, who's coming through. So Adebayo has had himself a stay of execution in the first team. But you know, if he's not good enough, he's not good enough. And I think that showed again, you know, specifically with that winning goal for Wigan in the midweek. I you know, also, when you have a defender who lost his head, now, Julian Werner has been an absolute revelation since he came to Hillsborough. He's become a fan favourite very quickly. He's got a great song that we all like chanting away that's not repeatable for radio.
Thank you.
But however, he had an absolute lapse in concentration in terms of playing the line for the first one as well. Absolutely incredible. I have never seen Sheffield Wednesday capitulate that badly before. And there are a few people that we can take a look at, especially in that second half. Barry Bannon dropping as deep as he did was try to play these Hollywood balls. You know, that's not your job, Barry. I don't know what you're doing, pal. I don't know why you're that deep. There was points where you were stood next to the centre-backs. And Jacob Murphy for me, and I don't know if you two chaps agree, Jacob Murphy for me, in terms of actual presence in the midfield, isn't as great as what his scoring record would suggest. He seems to have popped up with a couple of goals, but they seem to have come from absolutely nowhere. I mean, Rich, is that something you've found?
I've described it a couple of times. His attitude towards defending is that he just doesn't care at all, Murphy. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's... when he's played into the right situations, you know, kind of ball in behind his fullback, he's very keen to go and attack that, and obviously took his goal very well. That the header was, it was a surprise to everybody, including him, that he managed to notch with a header. But if he's playing right wing, the right fullback is having to do a double job, because he just doesn't work back at all. He kind of stands in the right place, but doesn't have any influence on the play. Reminds me a little bit of when we had Chris Eagles on loan, just to hark back to a similar sort of player. You know, knew, obviously well coached, knew the places to be, but not interested in getting involved or stopping anything, actually, even though he's there, and maybe making things more difficult by his presence, to be honest.
I've got to tell you, gents, that I could be looking into this in a cynical nature, these quotes from Gary Monk. Part of me feels like, yes, it's great that he's coming out and he's being very forthright and saying, you know, there needs to be change. I'm not having it with these players. I'll always protect them. Another part of me thinks, do you know what? Is he maybe deflecting from his own frailties as a manager and actually landing this on the players, which is rare for a manager to do, I have to say. And I'm not saying this is the case, but could it be argued that Gary Monk is going, well, this might take some of the heat off me if I kind of deflect it towards the players? What do you think, Luke?
I think he's been pretty good previously in actually protecting the players. And I think this is more a case of him getting to the point where he just can't do it any longer. I'm unsure what the kind of disconnect between what Gary Monk is telling the players and what they're producing. But I really felt from basically the defensive application, that was hugely missing on Tuesday night. It didn't seem like some of the errors and clangers that we've seen these defenders and Cameron Dawson kind of pull out the hat on a few occasions really haven't seemed very kind of typical of a Gary Monk side. So I think he is really purely just incredibly frustrated and just letting it slip, basically.
Agree with that, Dan?
Absolutely. I think that the Gary Monk's critique of the players is 100% justified. There is some talent in this squad. You know, we've got a lot of the players that are still there from when we got to the playoff final, which, you know, some people would find as a little bit of an issue. And that's, you know, maybe in terms of age and the rest of it. But yeah, definitely, I think he's justified, because I get a little bit fed up with all this. Hey, it's not the players, it's me. Hey, it's, you know, come on, don't get on their back, lads. No, absolutely, chuck them under the bus. If they're not performing, we don't want to celebrate mediocrity. We want people coming out and absolutely playing for the shirt that we'd all kill to be sat in on that pitch.
I do think there's a modicum of deflection from Monk. I mean, the timing is interesting, because the big change when Morgan Fox came off, who we all know he's having quite a sort of resurgence of his Wednesday career and really playing the best football he's ever played for us. So we miss him anyway, because he's become a very important part of the team. But then the change we made meant that we changed the whole of the back four. Rather than slotting somebody else in at left back, we moved Odubajo across the left back. Burner was the only person that kept his place. Tom Lees went in at centre back, and we moved Iorfa across to right back. And what was noticeable there was that Kiefer Moore, who is, I don't know, I think he's 6'3", 6'4", moves around very well. Went from not having a sniff, because Iorfa was all over him, to having a huge influence in the game. I mean, he missed a couple of sitters before he got his goal, and after he got his goal, he missed good chances. And we just never got to grips with his movement after we made that change. And I do wonder, obviously we had to swap Fox off, that's something that's unavoidable, but what we didn't need to do was change the whole of the back four to accommodate that change. So presumably Urigide could have come on, and that was just sort of one player swapping out, Odubajo swapping wings. I do think that was a bit of a clanger, really, in retrospect, making all of those changes all at once, and we never recovered really from that.
Well, gents, it is Millwall up this weekend. They've not won in 5 at Hillsborough. A bit of a playoff push bash. This one, of course, Wednesday, 5 points off the playoff zone. Millwall just 3 points, although they've lost their last 2 in league and cup. So they're certainly looking to bounce back as well. I'm going to come across the 3 of you and just get your predictions for this one. Luke, I'm coming to you first. How do you think this one's going to go?
Oh dear, this isn't going to go well. I'm thinking it's going to be a 2-1 win to Millwall. I can guarantee that Matt Smith is going to score for Millwall. We do not deal with him very well at all.
Interesting. Rich?
Well, I predicted a 2-1 win, I think, against Wigan, and that didn't go particularly well. I do think, unfortunately, the form that we're in at home Millwall being Millwall, I'm slightly worried. They're probably going to get 1-0, score early doors, and then lots of time wasting and a very annoyed bunch of folks leaving Hillsborough. That's my unfortunate prediction.
Oh, crikey, Dan, are you going to give me a bit of positivity? Or
I tell you what, Millwall is always one of those really difficult fixtures because it's one that you look at on paper and go, we should beat these, we're pushing for playoffs, and we've been doing that for the last 5 years. However, I think it would be very Sheffield Wednesday for us to lose against Wigan, beat Millwall 3-0, and then in the following game, get our backsides handed to us and lose 4-0. So I'm going to predict a 3-0 win on this one, but I'm going to predict a loss the week after.
To Barnsley. Lovely stuff, gents. Nothing but a pleasure having you on this evening. That was Luke Gleadle and Rich Miller from A Different Gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. And Dan Fudge joining me from the Wednesday week to really enjoy this show. What a great bunch of lads they are. Of course, Sheffield Wednesday hosting Millwall tomorrow. Millwall haven't won at Hillsborough in 5. So the omens are good. And like Dan said there, it'll be just like the Owls to bounce back from a 2-1 defeat to Wigan with victory over the Lions tomorrow. Sheffield Wednesday, 5 points adrift of those playoff places. There certainly is still hope with 17 to play in the Championship. We'll be reflecting on that game next week whilst looking ahead to the clash with Barnsley here on the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show Love Sport, 10 p.m. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.